TBR, a podcast about beer. It's topical, it's interesting, it's funny, it's educational. Yeah, yeah, it really is educational.
This is Tall Boy Radio, the beer review with a difference. Join your hosts, Beans, Gaz and Andy, each week as we give you all the news you need to know about the world of beer and brewing. Take a tour with the ABC of beer and hear about all market Belgian and craft beers that you love or are yet to discover. We want you to join in our weekly debate as we choose a random topic with a foamy top. Get in touch with us at tallboyradio.com or drop us an email at mail@tallboyradio.com. Check out our social media at Tallboy Radio on Facebook and Twitter and at Tallboy Radio Podcast on Instagram. Right, the show's about to start, so go grab yourself a cold one, kick back and enjoy.
Welcome back to episode 81 of Tallboy Radio. This week we're going to do another different topic, no guests, like last week. We talked about the perfect place to have a beer. This is going to be the perfect bar to have a beer. And then we're going to be talking about if TBR did a bar, what would that bar incorporate? So before we get onto that, let's do the important stuff. Introduce the hosts, find out a little bit about what they're drinking. Who wants to go first? Do you want to go first, Gazza?
Yeah, great to be back, guys. Really enjoyed hosting last week. Looking forward to this again this week, just sort of chatting about some of our thoughts about bars and stuff. And this week, and again, as seems to be a bit of a common theme, it might give away a little bit about what I'm talking about later, but I am drinking a Tisky, which is, I think, about 5.3%, something like that. So it's a good one. I do enjoy a good Tisky. And again, out of a genuine TBR podcast glass. So, looking forward to this.
Nice one. That's another beer that reduces alcohol content. That went down from 5.6 to 5.2, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But it's a good one.
Cool. Andy?
Howdy. So like last week, I'm on the Deval Triple Hops, out my favourite Pyrite glass. And also like last week, I'm wearing the same T-shirt. What a coincidence.
Dude, who's that you've got on your T-shirt, Ad?
This is Count Arthur Strong, if you're familiar with that individual.
No, so it might look like... I asked the question.
Yeah, it might look like Barack Obama on the print, but Count Arthur Strong, if you're a fan of British comedy and you like something that's got that traditional feel to it, have a look for it. He started out on the radio, did some fantastic radio shows, then did three series on BBC. One and two were on BBC Two, so you know they're going to be good. Then it went mainstream, stuck it on BBC One, they had one good episode out of it, and then they don't make it anymore. But seriously, check out his TV series, BBC One, BBC Two, Count Arthur Strong, and particularly the episode when the clocks go back, I think it's called. It is just classic British, stupid, silly comedy at its absolute best. Check it out.
Proper going back to a root slapstick.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very, very sort of recent thing. I think we're sort of talking the last sort of 5-6 years, but honestly, I don't think it's massively mainstream, but if you know, you know, and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Go on then, Ad, what are you drinking then?
What am I drinking? Much like yourself, Gazza. It might just be a little hint and a little tip to what I'm going to talk about in my ABC section. I am drinking Tatton Black, which is a local brewery, not too far from where we are, in betwixt Andy and the two of us. Yeah, it's a beer that we're very familiar with, Andy as well, very, very familiar with it, because I think you're a good mate. Yours is the head brewer there, unless I'm right or wrong on that one, am I not?
Yep, designs a lot of the beers and wins awards and stuff. So.
Yeah, very talented man. Yeah, very talented man. So I'm just do a quick shout out as well, and it's going to hopefully lead on to what we're going to be talking about in the next episode. You probably will have seen a post that we did on the various social media where we talked about what we're going to be doing, and it's Todd Orndorff and Johnny Simer, whether it's Johnny Simonetti or Simonetti, it doesn't matter. He's always ready. They're going to be joining us on the podcast hopefully next week from Pennsylvania and Virginia. So that's going to be interesting, trying to tie all that together in those four different places.
Really looking forward to that. There are a couple of guys that we've sort of spoken about before. They've given us shout outs. We've sort of given them shout outs, and we've sort of muted, you know, I would love to sort of get involved with you guys and this, that. And in a way, for it to actually be happening, you know, next week, I'm pretty excited about seeing what they can add, seeing what, you know, where the podcast goes, what it leads to. So, yeah, I'm hoping that our listeners are excited, because I'm excited. Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that.
Well, we've talked a lot about non-alcoholic beers, which truthfully is not something we've got a whole lot of experience with. But Johnny Simon,
we did do a podcast on it. You know, we did. One of the things I spoke about was the increase in the prevalence of, particularly in America, actually, was the increase in non-alcoholic sort of venues and venues then selling non-alcoholic beers and stuff. So, it'd be interesting to see whether or not he performs his test that he was going to do.
I'll be interested to find out if he's going to do it or whether he has done it. But yeah, Johnny Simo has drank nothing but non-alcoholic beer for over 12 months now. Yeah, so fair play to the dude. Right, who wants to go first with a little bit of news?
I've only got one real little bit of news, and I apologise for indulging the more of the local market, but it's news related to a beer festival that the podcast were actually initially going to try to get behind, and we will still get behind, and it's basically the Old Stager Cricket Club Beer Festival, and that's happening on the 10th, 11th and 12th of September, I believe. For those of you who are avid followers of our podcast, you will understand the importance of those dates. And actually, unfortunately, it's the dates that myself and Adam are in Scotland for the Disability Darts, and so I suppose the beer festival couldn't have come at a worse weekend really for us, because we got plans to sponsor a barrel, we got plans maybe to go there and perhaps try and get some content for a podcast from there. Certainly go there and sample some of the beers and some of the gins that are available. I know that in the past, it's a fantastic gin and beer festival. There's loads of different types of gins, loads of different types of sort of locally produced small microbrewery craft beers and ales on. So just a shout out, really. So if you're not doing anything and you are relatively local to us guys, you know, get yourself down to the cricket club on the 10th, 11th and 12th of September. It's a fantastic event. There's live music, there's food, beer. Myself and Adam have been numerous occasions before past years, and it's always been a great day. So yeah, just a shout out to them, really. So that's my bit of the news section for this week.
Cool, thanks guys. Andy?
It's not really news. Some of our friends are going to Belgium for a day, so we're going to recommend this one of our favorite restaurants. Found out it's closed. I'm still a bit heartbroken.
Which one's that then?
Raphael's. So where that Le Circule bar was, it's like round the corner, and I think we did go in there for like mixed grills and stuff like that. And it's part of a chain. I think the chain's still going, but this particular restaurant's gone.
That was a similar sort of theme. Oh, well, you were going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I was messaging Bo about when he was looking at going down to London. I said, look, if you're going down to London, dude, you're going to try and sample some Belgian beer and some really good food before you go, check out Balgo. That's gone as well.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Gutted. Absolutely good. Because that we'd have gone there. We'd have gone back there. 100%.
100%. Great bar, great food, great Belgian food as well, and great Belgian beer. Absolutely gutted to see that place go under.
Yeah. Really, I say disappointed, you know, just gutted, you know, disappointed for them guys, because for whatever reason, whether it, you know, COVID or whatever it is, has obviously hit them hard. So, yeah, I was a bit shocked when I heard about that, actually, because I know that we'd mentioned, obviously, you just there to Bo. And he said he'd gone on and had a look, and it's closed. It was indefinitely, whatever the phrase was that they said.
So. It's gone. There's no plans to open it back up again, which I think is a terrible, terrible shame. And it's, like you say, in all likelihood, is it down to businesses closed for a prolonged period? In all likelihood, yes. There's a lot of places that have really, really suffered during this policy. And we're not going to get deep into whether it's worked, whether anything's worked, the validity of it all. But certainly, it's a real criminal shame to see the end of these places. It really is.
Just a quick one on that. You know, I think you messaged in our little chat saying it's closed. Mm. One was opening in Deansgate in Manchester.
Is there really?
I don't know. Oh, it's not now, obviously. But I think it was going to replace another restaurant. But obviously, COVID hit, and I think it's not opened or not. But yeah.
It's a real shame, that is. It's a real shame. I just hope the economy recovers enough for these places to have another go, because these people, when they create these businesses, they do it don't get me wrong, they do it to make a little bit of money for themselves, but they do a lot of it out of passion and out of the love for what they create in terms of the fantastic food, fantastic beer that they have on offer, and the fantastic atmosphere that you get in the place, because we've been there a few times, and yeah, absolutely amazing. So yeah, when I recommend that place to Bo, when he messaged back saying, "Ah, oh, just checked it out on the website, closed," really disappointed. Really disappointed for them. So for yourself, just a little bit of news then. So has anybody ever heard of a beer brand called Allsops?
I think I have, yeah.
Funny enough, me too, but it's one of those ones. Have I ever had a part of it? In all likelihood, when given the information I'm about to give you now, probably not. But I do feel like it's something I've heard of. Now, they were founded long, long, long ago in 1730 and then vanished in 1959, which is why I say we're unlikely to have had a beer of it. Now, Jamie Allsop, who is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the founder, Samuel Allsop, and he's bringing it back. And he's using his ancestors' old recipes. They've been altered slightly to, you know, because of modern brewing techniques and obviously because of what people are buying nowadays, to make it a little bit tweaked and a little bit more updated. But he's going to be bringing them back and bringing those beers back to market. And their signature beer was a pale ale. That's what they prided themselves on. And he's going to be relaunching that very, very soon in 2021. So sometime this year, something to keep an eye out for. It's something we're talking about. Beers and places disappearing, something that perhaps we need to get behind, because that's something with a little bit of history when we go all the way back to 1730. And the other little bit of news I had as well was a chap by the name of David Trimbrell Hill, and he's opened a bottle shop in an old boat factory in Llanelli in Wales, and they sell 500 different types of beers. So if you're in that area, get yourself over there. They've got a bar, they've got a bottle shop, but God bless him. Not only that, he's doing local deliveries and he's shipping nationally as well. So if you want any of the beers, you get online, you can order those beers. And if you're a proud Welshman like me, so you know I'm going to be on there, they have beer from 50 different breweries in Wales, as well as your traditional craft English ales, American ales and Belgian ales that they're selling as well. Now, do you know how many breweries there are in Wales?
50.
No, it's a little bit more than 50, dude.
100.
Dude, you're very, very close. It's 94. And it's their goal to get a beer from every single... They've got a couple of beers at the moment. I think they've got about 100-odd different Welsh beers there. And they are going to try and get beers from every single Welsh brewer. So if you can order that nationally, I think that's a great opportunity if you're a Welsh brewer to get your beers out there. So, unless anybody else, any other news?
No more news.
Let's move on to the ABC of beer. Gazza?
Surprisingly, a bit of a giveaway earlier. I'm going to talk a little bit just about Tisky. It's sort of a beer that I've tried previously. What country is it from, by the way, guys? Do you know?
Poland.
Yes. You see, you know your beers. You do. And that was with no prep whatsoever. Yeah, so Polish beer. And it actually comes from the town of, and I'm going to, it sounds like Tisky, but I think it's actually Tishy, which is T-Y-C-H-Y. And so it's named after the town of Tishy. And do you know which bigger company, because it's a bit of a shame these smaller sort of companies, they get taken over. Do you know who owns it now? It's a beer that I've spoken about probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago maybe. We've had a pint of it in Bar 55.
Asahi.
Correct. Yeah, so Asahi Holdings. So they own Tisky now. Right. So when was it formed?
Ooh. I always go with these. I always go 1700, so I'm not gonna disappoint. I'm gonna go 1751.
Okay, 1751. Andy?
1678.
Okay, Andy actually is closer. It's actually earlier than that. It's 1629.
Wowzers.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it's actually one of the oldest breweries in Europe and has continued to be brewed from there for 400 years or whatever it is, so it's somewhat stupid. So, and there was a tie-in with obviously a German noble house of Promnitz, that they were the house that owned the brewery for a period of time, and the name, and as it's known in Poland, and I apologise the pronunciation, it's the Fürlicht Brewery Tisza, which basically means the princely brewery of Tisza. So that means the first main biggest brewery of Tisza. So that was what the house bought. And I say it was purchased by the house of Promnitz. and it was then handed down through various generations and stuff. So initially they produced three types of beer. There was a Mehlings, the yeast and a Tableware, and actually it was only the slightly higher quality beer that was initially they were going to sell, and basically the brewers would keep the other two types and they would distribute that amongst family and friends and stuff. And actually there was only one type of beer that was for sale, and it was the your traditional ale as such. So that was quite cool. And it's a Bavarian malt. It's brown, sweet, quite low hopped. And they now export to a number of different countries. 18% of the Polish market is Tyski. So quite a high proportion of the Polish market is Tyski. It's 5.2, as Adam has correctly said. It is one of those that have lowered its ABV. Historically, it says here it was at 5.6. Is that what you got it at?
Yeah, I remember it being 5.6.
So 5.6. It's now at 5.2. It's won in the past loads of different sort of honours and stuff. Various sort of brewers of the year, small craft brewers of the year and that sort of stuff. But it just got me. It's a beer that I've tried before. It's a beer that I've seen. They do a slightly higher ABV. And I'm just having a look. I'm trying to see what it's called. I've got it somewhere. That they do a slightly higher ABV version of the beer, but I can't.
I'll tell you this, dude. When it was 5.6, it was an absolute cracker of a beer. Ooh. Don't get me wrong, at 5.2, it's not too bad. But I do think, as we said before, with the different beers that have lowered their ABV, you can discern it. If you try the 5.2 version first, maybe you'll still love it. You'll still enjoy it. But that other version was, in my opinion, better. What are your thoughts, Andy? Well, I guess Google's.
You know my saying. It's all about that ABV, baby.
And it's true, isn't it? You know that the 5. I remember the first time I tried Tyski, it was 5.6, and I thought, oh, do you know what? This is an absolute go-to beer. I'd never heard of it before. Obviously, it came over here when we had a lot of people coming over from Poland and working in the UK. So it's different foods and different beers like this, and that can only enrich a culture, as I always say. It was phenomenal to be able to get that beer over here. I loved it. I loved it. It was one of the best things about the free market and the European market. Don't get me started on Brexit. Go on, Gazza.
No, just saying, it's marketed. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. It's marketed, obviously, as a pale lager. But they did say, interestingly, they did talk about that after the 19th century, they wanted to produce something slightly different than your traditional Bavarian ales, and actually that's how the sort of Tyski sort of brand and flavor came about. They wanted something a little bit lighter than your traditional quite heavy hearty Bavarian ales, because obviously it's quite heavily German influenced as such. And it just mentions here, it says the first beers were quite light and were sold under the, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that brand. And then it said what we now perceive as the Tyski beer was something that actually happened later on. So it's obviously an evolution of flavour and an evolution of the brand, but they wanted to move away from the very heavy traditional Bavarian ale type beers, which is where the sort of the brand came from. But saturated colour, sort of brown, sweet, I'd say low hopped. So really nice beer. I really would have liked to have tried it at 5.6 as opposed to 5.2. Really would have liked to try that, because it's a cracker as it is, but really would have liked that 5.6.
Cool.
Throw in a shot of whiskey. That's all I have.
We will do an episode on Boilermakers just to keep Andy happy at some point in the future, don't you worry. Go on then, Andy, give us your bees.
So I like to mispronounce a lot of names, so we're going to go to this brewery name. So it's one of the Trappist breweries called West Lateran Brewery. I've seen the bottles before. I don't think they stick labels on them. It's like a small little label they do. They don't sell it to shops. You have to buy it directly from them. Sort of thing. You buy it by crates. So I will be doing an order soon. But when I was reading about the history about them, it's a French monastery. I think some of them moved to this West Lateran monastery, I suppose you call it. It was quite interesting. So this is like 1800s, 1831. And then 1838 started brewing. And then some of the monks left there and set up the Chimay brand.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm familiar with that one. Sort of got that same sort of roots. What's interesting about this brewery is that during World War One and Two, they still operated as a monastery and a brewery. So although they weren't producing as much beer, they kept all their copper, what do you call them? Well, they call it copper vessels on their site, but you know, all the brewing tanks and stuff like that. And a lot of places, like in the UK especially, it got stripped of all the metal, so a lot of places shut down. So yeah, these kept going. They were never occupied by the Germans, and they used to be used as an Allied sort of hospital for a while during World War II. And if you know what I mean, I wouldn't want to be a part of World War II, but if I was injured and had to go somewhere.
I know, hospital in a brewery, yeah. Be right top of your list, wouldn't it?
Drink.
It's quite interesting. There's a lot more history than what I'm going to just talk about. But yeah, there's all these small, so there's loads of monks there, but only five of them brew the beer. And then these hire extra people from outside the monastery to come in and do all the, you know, packaging and moving stuff around and stuff, which... I thought it was quite different. I thought it would have been all pure monastery, but five run it, and five who assist during the bottling, but then they hire these extra people just to do all the easy tasks, or the manual labour tasks, they've called it.
So it turns out monks don't like manual labour either, eh? That's
all
a revelation.
Become a monk.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounded better and better to me.
It is, isn't it? I tell you what, dude, if you are going to order a case, maybe we should all kick in a bit of cash and share it out. Try it out on the podcast. Is that something
I'll
we
can do?
Yeah,
a bottle.
A bottle, listen to him.
What he doesn't tell you is it'd be empty.
That's a surprise. They do a few good beers. They do a blonde one, an 8% one, and a 12. And the higher percentage, the darker they get. So the 12 is a quadruple.
Oh, yes.
They'll be banging that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like a good dark beer. So for myself, as I said, in terms of the ABC, the craft beer, I'm going to talk about a craft beer again, which is very, very local to us, Tatton Brewery. And if you're familiar with the area of Knutsford, you'll be familiar with Tatton Park, hence the name Tatton Brewery. As we said at the very start, Andy's good friend Lee is the head brewer there. And like you say, he has a good say, doesn't he, in the amount of beers and the type of beers that they make there.
Oh, yeah. And he forces it upon all his friends.
Yeah, which I'm sure you're gutted about. Yeah, it is a family-run brewery, as we said, in Knutsford in Cheshire, and it's in a custom-built brewery using a traditional yeast which has revived after it had been retired for 50 years. Did you know that, Andy, that it was a yeast that had been previously retired?
I've briefly done the tour, but yeah, I don't remember it was a retired yeast.
No, I must admit, I've been there as well, and I've visited the brewery, and it is a cracking night as well, and if they do an open night, I would definitely recommend it, especially because Lee's mum does the samosas there to have with the beer. I tell you what, you won't get a better samosa anywhere else, will you?
Oh, no. Especially when you've had a few beers as well. It tastes better and better.
They are absolute thumpers. And a lot of breweries as well at the moment, they've been using sort of a dry yeast. And a lot of them now, that the country's opening back up again, are going back to that wet yeast, which is fascinating to know that all these are held centrally so that the yeast is looked after. And the wet yeast is now being re-employed in a lot of these smaller breweries. I'm sure in the larger ones it was always used. This one was founded in 1996, Tatton Brewery. So it's only 25 years old, but it's 25 years this year, so it'd be interesting to see if they have any plans this year, Andy. Are they going to do anything, do you know of?
I'm not too sure. I've not been up to date with Tatton stuff, to be honest, lately, with all lockdown and all that.
That's it. And here's an interesting thing, because a couple of weeks ago, we did an episode about historical beers and old beers, and we talked about the origins and the history of beer. What do you know about that, Andy? What do you know about Tatton Brewery and their emblem, their motif, which I'm holding up to the camera now if you're looking on YouTube?
They're like a bad friend now.
No, not at all, because I'll be honest with you, I'm very familiar with Tatton Beer. I've visited the place and it's the first I heard of it, but the logo is a convivial couple sharing a beer from a drinking vessel, and that is how they believe beer should be shared. It should be a social pleasure shared amongst friends. Now, the logo originates from Mesopotamia, which, as we discussed, is one of the birthplaces of modern brewing. Now, I had no idea, but if you are on YouTube, and maybe we'll share it out on our social media, you look at that image, and it's very obvious that it is an old-style picture that almost could be a cave drawing. But I had no idea that was the case. So one of the beers I'm drinking tonight is their Tatton Black, which is a smooth English porter. And I have to say, it is a very, very pleasant beer. It's the first time I've tried this one. But one of my favourites of theirs is the Viper, which is their IPA. You're familiar with that one, aren't you, Andy?
Yes, 5%, I think it is. I don't know if it's bang on 5, but that with a shot of Hague whiskey.
says a lot about Andy, that is, because it's actually 6.3.
Oh. Oh, really?
What's the 5 for, then? Was it 5 years or 5 hops? I thought it was 5%, but...
No, dude, you're right. There is a 5 on it, but it was brewed for their 5th anniversary, dude. So, yeah, the attention to details there, if not entirely.
It's all like shots of whiskey in it.
It's close.
Yeah, so yeah, they brewed it for their 5th anniversary. So they've been doing that beer for 20 years. And Viper, for me, is one of their best ales. It's an absolute belter. It's a very, very traditional IPA. Very, very hoppy. Very, very tasty. And I definitely, definitely recommend you check that one out. So that's me done for my C of the ABC. Now, this week, we said we were going to be talking about different bars that we've had a beer in that we enjoyed, and then compiling those experiences. And if TBR were to do a bar, what would it entail? What would you be looking for? Go on, Gaz, fire out one of your experiences of a bar you've visited and tell us about something that you've enjoyed that we would then see in a TBR bar.
Well, whether or not we would see it in a TBR bar, I'm not so sure, because you'll sort of laugh when I mention it, but one of my sort of favourite experiences of going to a bar was actually going to Moe's Tavern and actually having a pint of Duff, which obviously we took, and I mentioned it on previous podcasts, we were taking the kids to sort of Florida, and we went to, I think it's Universal Studios, and obviously you walk around Universal Studios and we get into the bit that's dedicated to the Simpsons, and I'm just like, I don't care what you're saying, kids, we're going in there, I'm having a drink. And you go in there and you've got a massive, great big life-size, like, model of Barney and sort of thing. It's just brilliant. So I went in there, had a pint of Duff, and I've got a pint glass and stuff. So I say, is it a famous bar? I don't know. Is it a bar that everybody else wants to go to? I don't know. Is it a memory that I've got? Absolutely 100%. And we've got photos of me, Jenny, and the kids outside and inside, and this Chief Wiggum outside, and did you get that registration number sort of thing, you know? And I suppose because we'd had such a good time in terms of going to Florida, and the kids had a blast. It's a phenomenal holiday. But just as a famous bar, yes, that was one. So that was a memory for me, was having a Duff beer. Don't get me wrong, I had a Duff beer, and then I can't remember what else. They did a couple of other types and varieties, and I can't for the life of me remember what they were called now. It's a while ago.
Did they do a Flaming Moe's?
You know what, I sort of want to say yes, but I don't know whether I had that. I think it was just called Duff.
Flaming Moe's was an episode of The Simpsons where they created their own, I think it's almost like a cocktail or a beer cocktail, which I think, if I remember correctly, was very heavily based on cough syrup that Homer had invented and Moe stole, and it was then called Flaming Moe's. So yeah, it was a one-off. I just wondered if they did that one there.
I don't remember. I just remember going in and having a pint of Duff. And I say, whenever you go to any of these places, and this is where they get you on the money and stuff, but you go in there and say, oh, well, you've got to have one of the glasses. Oh, okay, so I've got a Bubba Gump, so I've got a Duff, I've got this, I've got that. You know, I've got loads of different glasses and stuff from the States. But yeah, so Moe's Tavern was one. I've got a couple of others, but I'll leave that for... You know, sure. A bit late maybe, but yeah, that was a proper memory of mine. I was actually genuinely having a part of that.
You can't get enough of that wonderful Duff, as they say. What about you, Andy?
We know we've discussed past episodes of like, so one thing is, if I could do any job, I'd like to own my own bar.
Yeah, you've said this a few times, dude.
It sometimes changes though how it's going to be like. Sometimes I think, oh, I'll have a cellar bar in like, say, Manchester, or the big city, and it'd just be like, you know, like an old style stone wall sort of bar, table service, and just a bit of music in the corner and stuff. But then, like, I was just thinking, I think I'd just do like a sports bar or something like that, and it'd just be something simple, like all my Belgian stuff, bit of football. I don't know if I'd do food, but I might just do like finger food, you know, like some sausages and cheese and shit like that. And I mean, I was quite sold on it. I was just thinking there, like, oh, I could just sit there now.
I like the sound of it, dude. I'm, you know, keep going. I like the idea.
Yeah.
You...
And then like have some live bands on every so often as well. And, you know, that's the dream.
I like the idea of that. And I'll tell you one experience that I always remember. And it almost harks back to what we said last time in that experience. And this is one that probably wasn't expected. We just jumped off the train. We got down to London for the NFL. We're going to watch a little bit of American football and, more importantly, consume a little bit of beer. And as we were walking on the way towards our hotel in some random spot, because all our hotels are never central, they're always just in really weird spots where you wouldn't expect to find a hotel, we stumbled upon a bar called Flight Club, which they have a number of these in cities around the UK, and I believe they've got them in the States as well. I think there's one in New York. And obviously, as you'd expect, Flight Club is a reference to darts. Now, we didn't know this. We went downstairs, and it was done almost in like a cinematic popcorn stand, the bar was. And then there were all the different dart boards around, and the scores that celebrities had scored when they were in there. And they had some absolutely cracking beers on, Beavertown beers. And, God bless them, they'd done a little bit too much food. So they took us a little bit of free food our way as well. So already, we just turn up in London. Casey's still with us. Cart and all that around. We're in this phenomenal bar, weren't we?
I had loads of beers on the train. It's like sure. 9 o'clock in the morning, the train, and I think I had like 3 or 4 deliriums by the time I got to the station. And then we went that place and like, oh, it's some free food. I was like, oh, thank you. Like Homer Simpson, it, though, you can eat buffet.
You know what, dude? Yeah, that's a proper memory, because we went in there and I don't know why I was drinking. I got a feeling I was drinking something separate to you guys. Was I on like?
I think you were on Moretti. Moretti, on the Beavertown Gamma Ray, I think it was.
I think I was on Moretti, which is it's not the strongest of beers, but certainly it's a beer. Oh yeah, absolutely. I love Moretti. And so we got in there. Was it? And maybe the first pint at 12:30 or something, or whatever time it was. And the plan was only really to go in there for a couple of beers, and then we'd drop the bags off, and then we'd, you know, we got to about 2:30, and we were like 5 pints of Moretti down already. And you're just like, oh, this could turn into a good day. But and obviously then you got the stags and the hens came in, and they obviously had all the champagne and they had all the food and this and the other, didn't they? And it was a top start of a top.
And we didn't even get to throw a dart. And obviously, if anybody knows myself and Gaz, we do enjoy a little bit of darts from time to time, regardless of the quality of how we play. We enjoy it. And we never got to even throw a dart. We just got to watch some amateurs of dart, and Gaz obviously got to critique them.
I was critiquing quite badly, actually, yeah.
Didn't realise two celebrities were in the building. Two world record holders.
That's it, yeah. At that time, unfortunately, it has been beaten now, but at that time, we were Guinness World Record holders.
Genuine.
And I tell you what, they, Guinness need to pull their finger out and approve our latest effort. Didn't you, dragging on a bit.
Didn't you say that a couple of times later on in the day when you walked into various establishments?
To be honest, when I've had far too much to drink, I can be a loudmouth bore. To be honest, I'm a loudmouth bore before I've had a drink. So it's a far, far worse when I've had one.
I think it was when you pulled your stiff guy out from under your jacket.
I did not. That never leaves the wall.
Scroll down like that.
Do you know who I am?
I need to get a replica of that tattooed on my arm somewhere. So go on. He wants to name another bar that we've been in, or you've been in.
I'll go, because I sort of briefly mentioned it, possibly, I don't know, this in the previous podcast. And actually, it was the same time that we were in Florida. I went into the NBC Sports Bar. I could have died and gone to heaven and just stayed in there forever. That for me was, you got a decent beer, decent food, great cocktails menu, and as much sport as you could ever wish to watch in any one establishment at any one time. And I suppose I need to say this quietly, if I wasn't with the wife and the kids, it would have been, you know, I literally would have just sat there and just watched sport and just drank till I was in a stupor. But for me, that was just perfect. You know, we were in Florida, we were having a great time, and as you say, it was, I think, Universal Studios, you know, the city walks there and all that sort of stuff. And you went in there and it was just wall-to-wall sport and beer.
I'll tell you what, dude. I'll tell you what you'd love. Obviously, I've been to Vegas a number of times, and everybody knows me, knows I love Vegas. But in just about every casino and bar area, they have something called a sports book. which is where you can sit and you can watch just about every game that is being played live then, and it's showed on screens that are bigger than your goddamn house. You can order beer, you can order food, and for yourself, you can also bet on those events as well, live, right in front of you. It's honestly, every time we've gone past one of those, I'll be honest, I've never been in one of those because I don't gamble, but I always think, I'll tell you what, this is Gaz's home.
I mean, I haven't been to Vegas, and I think everybody that listens to the podcast knows that I'd love to go. That, for me, look, you know, would I bet significant amounts? Probably, but that's a different story. But, you know, would I bet within reason? Yes, obviously. Do I enjoy my drink? Yes. Do I enjoy a little gamble? Yes. Do I enjoy sport? Hell yes. So, you know, you put those three things together, and that for me is just, and there's a bit of a common theme here, because the other place that I remember, it's a massive memory of mine, was, and it was when I was 40, and there was a group of us, and we went to play golf at Celtic Manor. And so
we're talking a while ago now, then, aren't we?
Yeah, all right, steady on, you know. You're the same age as I am now, dude, you know. There's none of this, like, two-week window where I'm older than you. We're the same age now, kid, you know what I mean? So it was back in 2000 and whenever it was, and we went to Celtic Manor, and there was eight of us, and obviously, again, those people that know me, I'm a keen golfer and stuff, so played the 2010 course, and it was fantastic, and we went into the resort, and we were like, oh, where can we get to the bar? We want a couple of beers, and they sent us down to effectively what they call the sports bar, and again, it's quite a small place, and they got big oak barrel sort of things as tables, you know, where you get like your big table and they put like they ledge it, and you've got a couple of stools around, and again, there was sports on, and it was a proper old traditional place, and the menu was, as it goes back to what Andy was saying, more like your picky food. There was no like, we're going to have like a three-course meal with this. It's more very picky food. So you got, you know, you got a couple of sliders on there, you got a bit of pizza, you got some nachos and wings and ribs and that sort of stuff. So the menu just complemented it perfectly. And there was a barman in there, and he said, oh, bar's going to close about 11. We were like, oh, really? So yeah, because then you've got to go up to the main hotel and the hotel bar. And we were like, can you not just stay open, dude? And he's like, oh, well, I shouldn't really. It's like, look, we'll make it worth your while, just stay open. And I don't know whether the guy got sacked the following day or not, I don't know, but he was like, yeah, okay, I'll stay open. And basically he stayed open, and we gave him, you know, cash tips and stuff, and said, look, just stay open. And he earned a decent amount from us, but we stayed in that bar, and dude, it was one of the best nights, honestly, I can tell you. Like, just sitting there with mates, drinking decent beer, just kicking back, watching some sport. There's a pool table, there was a jukebox, you know, you get your old school tunes on there. It was just a top night, just a top night. So that's a proper memory for me as well, yeah.
Oh, fair play. Andy, you got any other memories you want to share with us, dude? Different bars when we think about what we could do if we did a TBR bar?
I think so. Delirium, brilliant beer. They have bars worldwide, but there's two in Brussels, one that's the Delirium Bar, opposite the Jeanette Piss, the pissing girl.
Yeah.
But my favourite one's the smaller one, Delirium Cafe. And the only reason I like this one, I think, is because the barmaid there kept remembering me every time, every year we went, sort of thing, like, oh, I remember you want this drink? I was like, yes, please. I didn't even have to, like, get to the counter thing, just be serving me beers. But what I like...
Was it Mongo's or Banana?
I think you might have had that, but no.
To be fair, I mean, you're the 7'4" bald ginger bearded guys walk in there. I mean, you're not very hard to remember, are you? I mean, you know.
I don't know, we're in Europe. There's a lot of Vikings that way.
It's just like little touches like that, though. Like, we used to sit outside, and it was like cobbled street, and they used to just come out and bring you the drinks, and the beer taps were all like these massive brass things, like 4 foot high. But then, like, each time you got a beer, they'd give you like they squirt the water in the glass, so it's ice cold, and they pour the beer in. It's just fresh every time. Like, and I just liked it just because the atmosphere is like all the, you know, like metal beer signs all over the walls and stuff like that. And it was just good times. Just sat outside, jibber jabbing away in the evening, drinking Delirium and Pyrite. Like.
Definitely. I mean, like Andy says, the Delirium Bar is fantastic. And they add literally, they add an extra beer for every year. So if you go now, yeah, there's 2021 beers you can order. Then you got the Delirium Cafe. Is that the place where we had those very questionable ladies sit down next to us?
Oh, yeah.
That was the point. Yeah,
I didn't mention that because I want to forget about that bit. Yeah,
I want to forget about that too. There's some very questionable photographs, and don't get me wrong, it was our partners taking the pictures of us being corralled to do some very strange things with some very strange women. That's a story for another podcast.
When you say questionable women, does that mean women of a questionable nature or just questionable women?
Just what they did.
Both. Well. Yeah. Listen, yeah, that's a story for another
podcast. I think one good outcome of that was, I think his son worked in the Hard Rock Cafe. And I think
he
went there later on or before then and we knew him or something like that. I can't remember. I think we went there afterwards and he got us a drink and stuff.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? You pay your money, you take your choice. Moving on. I tell you one place then. Obviously, when we're harking back to Vegas, I asked the wife about different bars that we've been in and what was more memorable for her, because there's a number of places that I love. And one of the places I think we've visited every time we've been is a place at the Mirage Hotel. And it's called Rum Bar, which obviously they focus mainly on rum cocktails. And you sit outside in the glorious, glorious light. So we've always gone very, very late at night. And although it's pitch black, it's probably 30 degrees at the coolest. Yeah. And then in the background, if you're familiar with the Mirage Hotel, outside the front of it, it's got a volcano going off. Obviously, it's not a real volcano, but it's got the fire spewing out from the front, the red water, it cascades down the front of it, and then obviously the water that pumps around it. And it is a phenomenal experience. You're opposite the Venetian Hotel in the background, so you've got this fantastic backdrop. To sit out there and enjoy a drink is, for me, it's heaven. It's manna from heaven. It's just an incredible experience. You got that wonderful heat, even though, I think we've been there at 1 o'clock in the morning sometimes, and it's still ridiculously hot. You've got that thing going off in the background. I think at that time in the morning, it goes off every hour, and they're fantastic cocktails. You can get different beers. You can smoke some fabulous cigars. You can get the old, I don't know what they call the things you always see Jabba the Hutt sucking from.
Shisha. What?
Shisha, that's the word I'm after. Yeah, they do the Jabba shisha the there as well. Yeah.
Interesting that it was only Jabba the Hutt that you can think of that was smoking from a shisha.
Yeah, if that doesn't paint me out to be.
If that's not in the TBR bar, then. Yeah.
So we've named a few things there. Now, is there any other bars we want to shout out before we start looking at? If we were going to create a bar, what would it be?
You've just mentioned, obviously, yourself and the good wife were sort of talking about, and there's a place that I was talking to Jenny about. We were talking about bars and stuff, and she's been to, and I've been to Singapore but never been to this place, but she's been to Raffles Hotel, and she's had a Singapore Sling in Raffles Hotel, which is that is where Singapore Sling was invented.
Yes.
So she's actually had a Singapore Sling in the Raffles, and she said it was a strange experience because she was there on her own, because she went there as part of her elective when she was training to be a doctor, but I say back in the day. So part of being a doctor is you do an elective and you go to various places in the world and you go and work there for a period of time. So she went to Australia, and obviously on the route to Australia, she stopped in Singapore. And she said it was one of those things that her dad and my father-in-law had said, you have to, he's been there as well. And he said, you have to go, you have to have this drink. So she went there, she sat in there, she said she was in this massive sort of, almost like a throne chair sort of thing. And she said she genuinely had a Singapore Sling in the Raffles Hotel. So that's like, fair play, hats off, you know what I mean? And the only other ones that, again, I've just mentioned, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, they've been to Harry's Bar in Venice. So they've been there and they've had a couple of drinks in Harry's Bar in Venice, which again is a place that I would love to go to. So, and Venice is a place I'd love to go and visit. Rome and Venice are two places in Italy I'd love to go. So, but they were the only two, sort of, I say, honourable mentions. Not me personally, but my wife and mother and father-in-law. So Raffles Hotel and then Harry's Bar.
Any of you want to check out there before we start trying to compile these memories and trying to create something?
I just remembered your stag do.
I'm glad you do, because I didn't.
There's a beer chain called Beer Keller, And I've been to Manchester one quite a few times, and you know, they got hundreds of beers. We went to one in Liverpool. Your brother Spawn goes, oh, I don't really fancy a beer. I fancy like a wine or something. And obviously, like, it said apple vine on the menu. I was like, oh, why don't you try that? That's wine. And he went up to the bar and went, oh, can I have this this wine, this apple wine? It gave me 2 minutes of chuckling. Well, I'm sat there like a 2 litre stein.
God bless him. He's always good for entertainment, that lad.
I mean, other than Adam, obviously, apart from that, I sort of remember that weekend. It was brilliant, top weekend. Adam wasn't feeling particularly tickety-boo on day two. And actually, we got it the wrong way around, really, because we got there on day one and we basically ruined Adam on the first night. And actually, what we should have done was, because we got a couple of things planned for the second day in terms of, you know, we'd got like the Beatles thing and all that sort of stuff. So top weekend that was.
See, the thing is, I've had H. pylori and I've had ulcers in my stomach, and still I have never been as sick as I was on that second day of the stag do.
Dude, you were bad. It's when we got into the beer, Kelly, you were like, do you want a beer? You're like, no. No, I really don't. It's like, well, you haven't one anyway, so just get it down, yeah.
That's it, yeah. Painful memories. But if we were going to create a bar, then if Tallboy Radio were going to start that franchise, what would it have to have then based on those memories? You want to go first? You want to talk about something that it'd have to have?
I could list off, but what one easy one would just be a massive selection of beer. And yeah. I know, like, inventory-wise, it's probably tougher because you're getting beers from around the world, whatever, but that massive choice will be quite unique, because generally you get like 10-15 choices, don't you, when you go to a pub? But
well, funnily enough,
30.
Yeah, well, not only that, and this is the reason why I chucked out that little bit of news earlier about that guy in Wales opening up that bar that's selling 500 different beers. If you're going to offer it out nationwide, you're going to ship nationwide, you could make that part of your business. You could make that part of your business. So you've got 500 different beers you can choose from if you're in that bar. However, he's also shipping them out worldwide. Not worldwide, sorry, nationwide. And I think that's a good way of doing it, isn't it?
Stroke bottle shop.
Like, yeah. I've never known it done like that, where it's shipped nationwide as well, where you've got a bar that ships nationwide. I think that's a really clever business plan.
I think, as Andy said, you go into a lot of pubs and you look at what they've got on tap, but then you look over the bar and you see what they've got in terms of bottles. And you know what, there's probably 10, 12 different drinks that every bar has, and you're just like, yeah, it's just the same old, do you know what I mean? So I think taking what Andy was saying, you know, to have a wide range of beer would be brilliant. How that works in terms of stocking them, sourcing them, getting delivered and all that, but ultimately, you know, I don't care at this point, it's just pie in the sky. So you know, you'd have to have, you know, you'd have Erdinger, you'd have Pierrot, you'd have Duvel, you'd have Leff, you'd have Huygon, you'd have your Marshmallow Stout on tap, you'd have your whatever. Do you know what I mean? You'd have such a variety of beers. It's a bit like what is it, Craftworks or World Bar One, or, you know, you go to your crafty places and you have so many different types of beers. But you have guest ales as well. So you have your standard, but then you have your guest ales and your guest beers, and so it would have to have a conveyor belt of beers for me. You've got your stock 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 that you'd have. I mean, in terms of on you know, hand pull on draft, but you then have a conveyor belt of other stuff. For me, you'd have to have that.
I agree. I think we all agree on that. Variety is indeed the spice of life. But what would that bar look like? What would be the sort of place that would pull you in if you were
Star Wars Cantina?
Mos Eisley.
No. And look, the geek in me would say the Cantina Mos Eisley, but I'm jokes aside. I think
I like the idea of massive booths on the sides and then tables in the middle or something like that.
A bit like an
idea.
Not an oldie worldie, but, and I quite like this place, but not bright lights, neon lights and all that. And I'm not quite saying you go back to the old trippy sort of dungeon brewery that, you know, Andy, you've been on about previously, but it would have to have a traditional feel if you know what I mean.
I'm telling you now, that trapeze bar that we went to, I forget, what was his name again? Sorry, Andy, Trapeze.
La Trapeze, was it? Is that what you said?
Was it La Trapeze? Was that what it was called? In Bruges.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I'm telling you now, dude, that was phenomenal. It was, first of all, it was huge.
Candlelight as well.
Yeah. First of all, it was huge. Second of all, it was candlelight. So they sat in the atmosphere perfectly. And just, you're queuing up outside, it's just a doorway, and you're thinking, oh, God, what's Andy brought us to now?
Yeah.
And then you head down a flight of stairs, and it opens up, and you think, yeah, fair play, dude. You've nailed it on here. This place is perfect. And they had a great range of beers. So, honestly...
But it's weird because
that is necessary.
I really, really like the sound of that. But then I've just told you that two of my three abiding memories of particular bars relate to sports bars, having big screen TVs with literally wall-to-wall sports, with good friends, good food, different types of beers. So
what about this then? In each booth, they have a little TV you can flick through sports.
Yeah, that'd be nice, but I quite like the idea of having like lots around, so you don't have to just watch one in your little booth, but you've got, I know, the Dodgers are playing there, and then you've got an ice hockey game, Blackhawks are playing there, and then on another TV, you've got the Bears playing there. Okay, you perhaps wouldn't watch, actually, probably getting beat, but, you know, so you'd watch like, don't you look like that sunshine? You know, don't you look like that sunshine? Yeah, oh, to be fair, we I thought we were going to win the conference, and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers said he's going to re-sign for the Packers. Oh, for God's sake. Which means we're not going to win it now. But anyway, they're a different podcast. But, you know, so I'd have to think proper hard. Do you know what I mean?
So here's a question then. So sport's important to you. Which would be more important, sport or music? Andy, I'll ask you first.
Music for me.
Yeah, 100% for me too, dude.
So
when table
you say,
service as well.
When you... listen, table service.
You're lazy ass.
No, table service is a given. Best thing to come out of COVID.
So when you say music, do you mean live music?
I don't necessarily mean live music. I mean music playing.
Jukebox music.
Not necessarily jukebox, because people can put some shit on. Let's play some proper music.
Everybody walks in and has to listen to Morrissey?
Absolutely. No, I'll tell you a story. Wow,
what a happy place that would be.
Neil Morrissey. Was that?
Neil Morrissey singing Bob the Builder. I can remember, we painful story this. I can remember, like, we went up and we stopped off in a bar. I think it's Huddersfield. And I was driving up to a wedding in Harrogate with me and my brother. And we stopped off for a pint. I only had the one because I was driving. So we sat there. We needed a break. So I sat there having a beer. And I thought, you know, I'm going to stick a bit of music. So I stuck on Love Train by the OJs. And this dude came, and I didn't clock the nature of the people in there, but the people looked like they were into a little bit of heavy metal. It was a bit of a biker bar. And anyway, some dude come up to me and goes, did you just put that on? I was like, yeah, I did. You like it? He's like, no, I really don't, dude. If you're going to put that kind of stuff on, you and I are going to have a problem. I was like, okay, I won't put any more of that on then. I get it. You're a big dude, and you got a lot of friends, and this is just me and my brother here. So we're not going to have a problem here, are we? So this guy walks off, and John goes, oh, dude, we need to leave. I was like, why? Because the next song coming on is Honey to the Bee by Billy Piper. So, okay, now is the time to leave. I'll leave my beer. That's why you don't have a jukebox.
I've never left a beer, but that reminds me, again, with your brother. Maybe he's a common denominator. I don't know. There was me and John. We went to university. This is our left turn for this episode. And we went to uni and we dumped our car and we met a lad. I think his name was Andy. And Matt, was it Andy? Anyway, so we went into this pub and we got to the bar and we didn't really notice it at first. We got to the bar and it's like 2 pints of lager and a pint of cider. Andy's drinking cider. So barman sort of pulls them. And then, you know, when you get that, you're like, you look around and think, oh no. So literally like every single person in the pub is looking at us. It's like, right, okay. So, and it was like that horrible feeling that you think, we just in the wrong place here. So I said to John, I was like, John, we need to get rid of this, like, quickly. He's like, why? And I was like, we just need to get rid of this. So we were quite quick with our drink, let's say. So we'd done, Andy, this lad, we didn't, he just took half a pint with, Andy, you need to get rid of this, mate. He's like, why? Why? He's proper, like, vocal. He's like, why? Why do we need to drink this quickly? He's like, dude, just shut up and just, like, just drink your drink, sort of thing. So in the end, he drank it. And It's one of the most uncomfortable experiences I've been in a pub sort of thing. And so we got back onto the sort of uni campus, and a couple of days later in the student union, we chatted to people and we told them we've been into this pub, and I won't tell you the name of it, but we've been into it. And they were like, seriously, you went in there? It's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, no, don't, like, dude, like, don't go in there. So why not? If they know you're students, like, that's it. It's basically a locals pub, and students don't go in there. And if you go in there, you'd be lucky to sort of walk out. And we were like, fudging hell, sort of thing. And literally the first place we'd been into in Nottingham, we were like, oh, my days. So, yeah, that was just, I suppose that was a memory of, it's not necessarily a pub with me and John and stuff, but yeah, that was a bad memory as such. But so TBR won't be anything like that.
But I think that's sad though. This is the divisive nature of culture and of people that I don't like. I like an all-inclusive thing. So yeah. If we're in a bar, and one of my favourite things about bars is the people in there. I love a right random who are in there that's going to tell you a story that was just weird, that at some point you're going to feel uncomfortable when you're talking to them. Isn't that not the best part about talking to strangers in bars?
But you know,
I hate people, so no. But I go bars on my own. Well, I've been bars on my own quite a few times. I just want to sit in the corner and no one see me. It's nice.
But you can see them, but they can't see you.
Yeah. But they still come and sit at my table and jibber jabber to me.
Maybe you're the weirdo in the bar that people want to talk.
Yeah. Well, tough shit. I don't want to talk.
I don't know, dude. I think we talked pre-production. We talked about this episode. And we were like, does it need to have a theme? Does it need to be a sports theme? Is it a science fiction theme? Is it a country and western theme? Is it a music? Is it a film? Like, I don't know, a bit like what they called the sort of restaurant chains where you got all your film memorabilia and stuff. What are they called? Planet Hollywood type things, yeah. So does it have to be a theme bar? No. Okay. Does it have to be sport? For me, there would have to be some sport element in there somewhere. I know you guys are like, well, not as important, but for me, it'd have to be. There would have to be. Whether it's, you add, remember back in the day when you went to the Mia back in the day? Yeah. And you'd have, I say main bar, but it was, even then it was like sticky carpets and a locals pub and stuff. But you went into that back room, you got your table foos and you got your jukebox and a small, back in there, small screen TV with sport. Yeah. That was, you know, okay, so there would have to be somewhere where your hardened drinkers or your single guys or whatever it was could go and have a beer and watch the game. That for me is...
If you're listening in America, and we do have a decent portion of listeners who listen from America, this is what you would call a dive bar. That's what the Mir was back in the day. It was a dive bar. And my God, I love that place.
It was one of my favourite places. It was one of my favourite places to go to. And I'll say, well, it was almost one of the only places you'd go to. You know, if we turn around and say, well, we're going to go for beer. Well, who's going? Well, it's just a group of lads. Right, we're going to go to the Mir. Then that was it. That's where you go.
Andy, they had a whiskey there, dude, which they used to serve called Patine. And when they served it to, they had to legally tell you that this can cause blindness. It's like, yeah, give it to me, dude. I want to try it. If it's going to cause blindness, it's a good one.
Yeah. Massive disclaimer. You do know if you drink this, you could go blind. Yeah. Yes, I do, but give it me anyway.
Maybe that about something else.
But no, I mean, but back in the day, you know, and I haven't put it in my memorable bit, you know, but I remember going there, you know, and people that know me know that I used to play a lot of cricket and stuff, and we'd have cricket nets on a Saturday morning, and we'd finish it. It would be like 10:30 to 11:30 or something, or so we'd get in there in the afternoon, and you'd get back in the day, you'd get like your pool's coupon, and you'd have like your five aways or your five homes or whatever, and you sit there watching the football scores come in Saturday afternoon, having a few beers, and it would be brilliant. It would be absolutely brilliant. There'd be 8, 9, 10 lads there, and it would be such a good afternoon. So for me, if the TBR did a bar, there would have to be some sort of sport element. Sports bar, something. There'd have to be that for me.
So we're round about the hour mark now, and I don't think we've got a satisfactory conclusion.
No, not at all. No.
I think we've got three different visions of a bar, and could you combine them? That's the question.
If you bought a bar with three levels, three stories, absolutely. You've got your sort of your Belgium La Trappiste type bar in the basement. You've got your Adams or mine, and then you've got the other one first floor. There you go, you see. But no, I don't think we have, dude. I don't think we've got to the bottom of this at all.
I might need a second episode on this one. So we'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to know what your idea of a perfect bar is. What is the sort of things you look for when you're going out for a beer and trying to find a different place where you're going to feel home and you're going to feel comfortable in it? Those are the sort of places that we're looking for. We'd like to know what you think. But for now, we're done. So let's say our goodbyes. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, been brilliant. Thanks, guys. Again, love chatting to you. Loved catching up with the lads. Look forward to next time where hopefully we solve the conundrum of what the TBR bar would look like. Maybe that, again, that's something down the line. I'm really looking forward to chatting to Todd and Johnny. That's going to be something special, I hope so. Fingers crossed, Gaz out.
Cool. Andy?
Yeah, just echo that. Got some exciting episodes coming up. Yeah, hopefully open a TBR bar soon.
Oh, I definitely do. I'd love to think that that's on the agenda for us at some point in the future. But as for me, I'm just going to say cheers, guys. Thanks for listening. My name's Beans. I ain't cheese out of a strange woman's mouth.